service today, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We're always delighted to have visitors here in our service, and our prayer is that God would really minister to your heart, bless you as you join with us today, as we share around the Word of God, as we share around the presence of Jesus who's with us here today. I'd like to ask you to begin with me by turning in your Bibles, or you can look up on the screen. Our scripture for this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 16 this morning, and I'd like you to follow along with me. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us together this morning, that you are here in our midst, and that you love us, as Matt has so wonderfully shared with us. That you love us, you have a plan for our lives, you desire not only to commune with us today, but to encourage us so that we as your people may truly be the light that you've called us to be in the world today. Our prayer is that you would speak to us from your word, that would encourage us, it would build us up in our most holy and precious faith. And Lord, we ask that you might just minister to the deep needs of our hearts. We know that as we come together this morning, that there are many here today who have heavy hearts. There are those needs for family and loved ones that truly concern us. And unless you intervene, Father, unless you work a miracle, we don't know what to expect. So we ask you, God, to be gracious and to minister to our loved ones. We think of Hannah Laura this morning and her concern for her sister Elsa. We pray that you would encourage her and that you would be with Elsa and give the doctors wisdom as they would continue to diagnose and then potentially do surgery upon her. We thank you that Ursula is recuperating from her fall, and we pray that you would give her strength each and every day, and that soon she'll be able to once again join with us in worship here in the church setting. Lord, we thank you that you have given to each of us a desire this morning to learn more about you. And we pray that you would teach us more of yourself and of your love and your grace and your mercy. So make our hearts receptive, Lord, to what you would say. And we'll thank you, and we will bless you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more this morning about My Hope America, which will be taking place in November. If you have been here, you've been noticing, I hope, the brief video that's been running before the service starts. Last Sunday, we tried to give you a little bit of an introduction to some of the aspects behind it. Next Sunday, during our Sunday school time, and we're going to begin a little earlier next week, 9 a.m., we'll have some donuts and coffee downstairs. And then at 9:15, we're going to start some training. Those who would like to be hosts in your home, be a Matthew, you'll get a packet. And we'll work through this over the four Sundays in October. And it'll really be just some basic training to equip each of us to be a Matthew and to open up our homes, which should be the easy part, but to be encouraged to know that we can share our faith, that we can share our testimony, we can share what God is doing in our lives, and it can be encouraging and life-changing to our neighbors and to our friends, our coworkers. And so we're going to be doing that, and I just wanted to begin by saying the most important thing any of us can do is really pray. Pray that God would be pleased to send a revival to America. That's the prayer of Billy Graham, that God might use this to really pour out his spirit on our nation as home after home is opened up to our friends, to our neighbors, our coworkers, maybe other family members, to give them an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That will be done through a presentation that will be on television the night of November the 7th, or you can use a DVD and present it some other evening throughout the week, or you could do it on Sunday. You can download it from the website. But it'll be a presentation that very clearly presents the gospel. And then allow you, and after the presentation, will allow you an opportunity to share your faith in Jesus Christ, what he has meant to you and what difference he has made in your life. And then give you an opportunity to ask those that are there if they also would like to say a brief prayer, a prayer that will be modeled in the presentation to receive Christ as Savior. And then there's some follow-up materials that you can do. Now that sounds scary, I think. It sounds maybe daunting to many of us. I know even for me, and I'm supposed to be an expert at sharing my faith, right? It's a struggle on occasion. It's a fearful thing to do at times. And usually when it's very fearful, it's because I get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so one of the things that will be said several times throughout the training is you can do this, that you can do this. Because you're sharing your story of what God has done in your life, how he's brought you to faith in Christ, and how he's grown you up over the years, over whatever time it may be that you've walked with the Lord. And you can share that because you're using relationships that you have built with neighbors and friends, coworkers, where you have some investment in a relationship that already exists. Well, we'll be hearing more about that. What I wanted to do this morning is just to encourage you from the dynamic of your home is a perfect setting to invite people in. And when we do this, we don't have to think of inviting 30 people or 20 people to our home. It could be as a smaller group as 3 or 4, 5 or 6, you know, whatever number really works. But the main thing, and we had one of these out last week on each chair, and probably half of them were left, so I know you probably forgot to take them with you. They're out on the table in the foyer. But it really outlines the program, and the most important thing is to get to that page to begin to list some people you would like to pray for, people that you would hope that God would open up the opportunity for you to invite into your home and allow them to see this presentation. And as you're praying for them in the weeks leading up to November, God may already give you opportunity to strengthen the relationship that you have, where when it comes time, they're really ready to hear what you have to say about your relationship with Christ. They've been observing you. They've been seeing some of the difference that Christ has made in your life. And so I hope you'll be encouraged to do that. Well, this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit to you about the importance of the home again. And just think, if you will, with me. Last week I said that if you look through the Gospels, just Mark and Luke are the two that I took over the last week. There were 25 occasions in those two Gospels where Jesus was found in someone's home. Someone had invited him to come to their house. Or in one instance, as we looked last week, Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today." Jesus invited himself. But the home was opened up to Jesus, and when Jesus came into that home, there was a wonderful difference that was made. In some cases, people were healed of diseases. People were, you know, restored to vibrancy of life. In some cases, people were set free from their burden of sin. I think of the paralytic who was lowered down before Jesus, and Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." There was a wonderful difference that was made in the life of people when Jesus came to their home. And when you invite people to come to your house, Jesus is there. And his presence can make all the difference in their lives as he has made in your life. And so I hope you'll be encouraged by that. Today we want to look at an Old Testament story where God uses one of his servants, Elijah. Elijah is a prophet. And you are probably familiar with the story, but I just want to tell you a little bit more about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet who lived in the 9th century before Christ. Probably a relatively young man when he began. The call of God came upon his life, and he was set apart to be a prophet, to take the word of the Lord wherever God would send him. And I don't know if this was his very first opportunity, but it was probably very near the first opportunity that he had to serve the Lord. And the Lord's word came to Elijah and said, "I want you to go to Ahab, and I want you to tell Ahab what he needs to hear." And what Ahab needed to hear was that he had rebelled against God, that he had turned away from God, and that he was leading the nation of Israel down a road, down a path that would lead to destruction. And so God sends Elijah, and Elijah walks in front of Ahab. He gets an audience with the king, and he says basically that there will be no rain in the land of Israel until Elijah says there will be rain. And I'm sure when he first heard that message, maybe Ahab began to laugh. You know, "Who do you think you are walking in here telling me, the king, that there's going to be no rain? What are your credentials? By what authority do you say that? How is that even possible?" You see, Ahab had given up his worship of the God of Israel. He had turned his heart towards the idols of the nations around him, and in particular, the worship of Baal, which was the main deity of the territory, the land from which his wife Jezebel had come from. And Jezebel had turned Ahab's heart to the worship of Baal. And so, God was displeased with Ahab, and he sent this message to Ahab through Elijah. Well, Elijah walks out, and the prophecy begins to be fulfilled. There's no rain that falls on Israel. God sends Elijah to a brook where he will be taken care of by God. There will be water for him to drink while all the other land is going through a drought and people are struggling and searching for water. Elijah will have water by the brook Cherith. And while he's there, he will be fed by ravens. I know we're all Baltimore fans here, right? Probably, except for a few, I know. But it's not that kind of raven, you know, not the ones downtown. But the birds, and they fly in, and they have meat for Elijah to eat. They bring him, they bring him food, they feed him, and he's able to be cared for by God for almost about a year's time as he's there by that brook. And the drought is getting more severe, and people are beginning to, struggle and maybe somewhat panic. And maybe Ahab is beginning to wonder, you know, maybe there was some truth to this prophecy. I'd like to find Elijah, but he can't find him because Elijah is off by the brook. Well, pretty soon, as the brook gets dry, God tells Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is in the territory of Sidon. I don't know how you want to pronounce that. But it's the very region from which Jezebel has come from. He's literally sending Elijah into enemy territory. He's sending Elijah into the teeth of Baal worship. And he says, I want you to go there, and I'm going to introduce you to a widow, and she'll take care of you. And so Elijah goes off to Zarephath looking for this widow, and it's really not difficult to find her. As soon as he walks into town, he sees this widow picking up sticks, and so he asks her for a drink of water. She recognizes him to be from Israel, perhaps even thinking that maybe he is a man of God. And as she goes off to get him a drink of water, he says, oh, and would you please bake me some bread? Well, at that point, she stops and she turns and says, listen, I don't have anything really to speak of. I have just a little bit of flour, just a little bit of oil, and my plan was to take these sticks, go back to my house, build a fire, and bake some bread, and then I would share it with my son. What little portion it would be, we will eat, and then we will die because we're going to starve to death. We have nothing else. And Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do as you say, but simply make me bread first. Bring me some bread to eat, and the God of Israel will take care of you. He'll provide flour for you and oil for you for every day, as much as you need to make bread. Just trust. Believe. And she goes home, and she makes bread, and she brings it to Elijah. And then she goes home, and there's flour in her bowl. There's oil in the jug. And she can make more bread for she and her son. And for as long as Elijah is in her home, there is provision for her need. And my point is simply that God was faithful to his word, and he was going to take care of her as he said he would. And he did. He took care of her. Even though she was an outsider to the grace and the privilege of God, if you will, as an Israelite. But God had his eye on her. God loved her as he loves all people. God wants to have a relationship with everyone. I believe the Bible, and the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. That everyone will die a physical death, but even more so, the truth of the scripture is that people will die outside of a relationship with him, and God doesn't want that. He wants people to be introduced to him. He wants people to have a relationship with him. He wants people to go to heaven, as we say. And the only way many people will be introduced to God is through you and I taking the time to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And if you and I will do that, God will honor our desire. And I want to tell you a couple of stories. I'm going to change the names just because I probably should do that. But the first story is about a girl named Susie. Susie was a young, struggling, single mom. She really found it difficult to make ends meet. She had a home, couldn't always pay her electric bill on time, couldn't always make the mortgage payment on time. There's always a struggle there. She could barely make ends meet. And if the unexpected happened, like the car broke down, that would just throw total chaos into everything that she tried to do. Sometimes she would ask her church for help. And as they could, they would help her. Well, one day Susie was out for a walk, And as she was walking, she was kind of, you know, praying out loud to God. God, you know my situation. You know my needs. I'm just really struggling. I can't make ends meet. Would you help me? And she said she stopped and she looked down and there was a $20 bill. And she stopped and she picked up the $20 bill and she was thanking God for this provision. And then she realized, you know, I really haven't given anything to you, God, in a long time. I mean, I haven't put anything in the offering. I really felt like I haven't had anything to give. And she began to think of this $20 bill as a provision from God. And she realized that it really wouldn't cover her electric bill. It wouldn't pay for her mortgage. And she probably would just end up spending it on herself. But if she could give it to God, even though it was just that widow's mite in that sense, if she gave it to God, God would honor it and God would bless it. She even remembered that in the Bible it says something really cool. And I thought I would read that for you. This is from one of the paraphrases. I just like the way it sounds. Jesus said, "Yes, and you won't regret it. No one who has sacrificed home, spouse, brothers and sisters, parents, children, whatever, will lose out. It will all come back multiplied many times over in your lifetime. And you will have the bonus of eternal life also." She gave it joyfully to the Lord, and she found that God began to provide for her in ways she couldn't imagine. And in the future, Susie would open her home for Bible studies and for relationship building with her neighbors. And God used her testimony to point others to Christ. She believed that God would take care of her, that God would make a difference in her home, and he did. The second story is about a couple of gals that I know. I'll call them Kelly and Chris. Kelly and Chris were best friends growing up throughout their teen years. They did all of the kind of best friend stuff that you could imagine girls would do together. As they got older, they even double dated together. They would talk about boy stuff, but you know, they didn't tell me about the boy stuff they talked about, so I don't know. But they would do that. When Kelly's mom was sick and dying with cancer, Chris was there for her. They prayed together for a miracle. They cried together. They really did life together. They were maid of honors in each other's weddings, and they did things together as couples. Chris, who was a little bit older, she and her husband started a family, and then they started doing family things together. But then Kelly moved far away. They still kept in touch. They would write. They emailed, they Skyped, all those kinds of things that were available to do. And then one day, Chris let Kelly know that she had cancer. That she was facing surgery and chemo. She didn't know what the future would bring. Chris had surgery, she had chemo, and it was all really hard on her. It was tough raising three children and trying to manage a house when you didn't feel well, and you didn't know even if you would live or die. And then something amazing happened. Kelly showed up at her house, and she began to take care of Chris. She began to take care of the kids. She took care of the house. She let Chris and her husband have special time together. And she stayed with Chris until she got stronger and better and was well. And then she went home. Then later, Kelly and her husband moved back to the area so they could continue to do things together. Chris and Kelly and their families did life together. They shared their stories with others. And in the sharing of their story, others were pointed to Jesus Christ and began to understand the difference that he makes in one's life and in one's relationships. You see, things can happen when you invite Jesus into your home. And things can happen when you invite other people into your home and they can begin to observe the difference that Jesus makes in your house. Maybe you think, well, my home is too small. Really can't have a large group. Well, you don't have to have a large group. Two or three people, four people. That's all it really takes. Matter, maybe in some ways having a smaller group will be easier and will be better for you. Maybe you think, well, you know, my house is always a mess. I really don't do much to, can't really get it looking nice to invite people in. I don't advocate this. I know Jan wouldn't let me get away with it at our house. But, you know, just throw everything in a closet. You know, take it all up into the bedroom. You're not going to let people go up to your bedroom. So just clean out your living space and make that one room look fairly decent. You know, I mean, well, you know, they won't know. Yeah, it really doesn't matter what the house looks like, what the home looks like. You want to make it inviting. And it's going to be your love for them that will make all the difference. The love that you reveal, the love that you show as you invite your friends and neighbors, coworkers into your house, that will really make the difference. And when Jesus comes to our homes, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Because it's really not up to you or to me. It's up to His Spirit. It's His Spirit who will draw people to Christ. It's His Spirit who will bring the fruit through that witness, through that testimony. It will be the Holy Spirit who will draw people to Jesus Christ as you share your faith, as you give that opportunity. So really, again, what I want to encourage you to do is open up your home. But even more, open up your heart. You all know people. We all know people. We know people that we know don't really know Jesus in the way that we do. And if we believe what the Bible says, if they die, they enter into a Christless eternity. But if we give them the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that God in Christ loves them, that Jesus died a death he didn't deserve to pay a price he didn't owe, but he did that because he loved you and me so much, and he loves them so much that he was willing to do that. Can't we introduce them to the Savior? Can't we tell them, you know, before I was a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, I was a person who, I'll tell you a little bit of my story. I guess I think I've done this before, but, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I really strove to kind of be the perfect son. You know, I thought that's how I would win the approval of my mom and dad, if I just didn't make any mistakes. Well, I'm not perfect. I make lots of mistakes. And so it really became easy to kind of try to cover up those mistakes because I didn't want my parents to know I wasn't perfect. And then you begin to live a lie. And I really came to that place in my life where I realized I didn't want to live a lie. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my living a lie, trying to be someone that I'm really not. Would you forgive me? And I know that God forgave me and he took away my sin and he gave me a clean start. And once I made that confession and came to that decision, you know, I can't say my life is perfect because it's not. But I live in the freedom that I have in Christ because I know that he came to give me a life and his promises, a life more abundant. So I start every day with the prayer, Lord, help me to live this day in a way that is is pleasing to you, to honor you in whatever I do, in whatever I say. And Jesus has always been with me, and he's never failed me. See, I can share that. You can share your testimony. You can share it with those who are close to you. And because they know you, and because they've seen you, and because they've observed you, it will be significant to them. They'll know if you're lying or telling the truth, because they really do know you. And if the Holy Spirit is working, as I believe he will touch one or two or three or more hearts, so that when you say to them, would you like to pray that prayer that was prayed on the program? They probably will respond yes. Because they're going to give themselves to Jesus Christ, to all that they know about him at that point in time. That he loves them, that he will forgive their sins, that they can have a relationship with God, become a part of his family, that they will receive eternal life. And then they start on this adventure of growing in the Christian life. And you're going to be there to help them in that as well with some of the follow-up material. See, you can do this. I can do this. And we can be used by God to bring an awakening to America. Now, if you like numbers, this has been kind of tested over the last 10 years around the world in different countries. And in those 10 years, 10 million people have come to Jesus Christ. That's more people coming to Christ than all of the Billy Graham crusades in all the years that he did those. And they have had over 4.5 million Matthews, 4.5 million people who have opened their homes up to those who receive Christ. And that's about 2 people per home. That means if you're willing to invite 3 or 4 people into your house, chances are, God's Spirit at work, 2 of those people will pray to receive Jesus as their Savior. Could there be anything more exciting in all the world than that? For you to invite your coworker to come to your house and hear the good news of Jesus, and see them pray to receive Christ, and you be there to help them through the rest of their lives, helping them to grow in faith? The question really comes down to, do we love the lost that much that we'd be willing to invest our lives in them? I pray that you will. And I pray that you'll kind of show that by showing up for training next Sunday. I didn't bring a sign-up sheet and ask you to sign up. Just be here next Sunday morning. We'll meet downstairs at 9:15. We'll begin this adventure together. But the most important thing is to begin to pray. Pray, Lord, who are those people that I know that need to know you? I want to pray for them faithfully. I want to believe that you'll open the door for me to invite them to come to my home. And I'll leave the results to you. I'll sow the seeds, I'll do some watering, I'll do whatever, but I'm going to leave the results to you. I think if we do, we'll be amazed to see that our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we think or dare to imagine. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you this morning that you love me so much, that you pursued me. I know you put me in an environment, in a Christian home, where I had some benefits that maybe other people didn't have. But even so, I was rebellious. And even so, I was stubborn. And I needed to come to that place of brokenness so that I would understand what holiness really requires. So God, I pray that you might lay upon all of our hearts here this morning just how much you love us and how much it cost you to rescue us. And that we might open our eyes and see that all around us there are others that you love who you desire to rescue. And we know many of those people. May you lay upon our hearts a burden that would desire to help build a bridge so that they might come to you by inviting them to our home. We believe that when Jesus comes to our home, all the difference in the world will take place. May we find that to be experientially true, we ask, for Jesus' sake, for his glory.